Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Cap Palace. Glad you're here. I need to set up these.
You know,
you are all of you of our believer, you receive Jesus Christ. You are a child of God, correct? You are a child of God, a son or daughter of God, and I don't know why, but the Lord must want to remind you of that fact, because for today's message, he gave me all these different object lessons. Okay, so, and for me, you know, I don't want you to just know the word, like here, but for me, it's important that you, like, feel the word, that you see and experience the word.
It gets into your soul and you remember the word. So I'm visual, I like object lessons, so you're going to have a plethora of object lessons today. But let's start with Luke chapter 8, verses 7 and 14. This is from the sower sowing the seeds, different seed and different grounds, okay? And this is just one part. Luke 8, 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Sometimes, maybe a lot of times in life, don't you feel like this plant? Don't you feel like this plant that life just choking? You feel like life is just kind of choking you. And it's like choking the seed out. It reminded me of like of a WWE kind of wrestlers, like the wrestlers are choking out the guy. Doesn't life just feel like that sometimes? You know, right? We know. You go through financial pressures. Right now, there's a lot of inflation. Just a reminder, inflation is not really prices going up, but it's what? Your buying power, the dollar going down. That's what's happening. But there's financial pressures. We're all feeling it. We're all feeling that. How about health issues? You know, if you're not having them now, you will have them. I am going on Medicare this year, and I need Medicare. So you start feeling the aches and things. You know, it's funny. I used to wonder, Dad, why don't you need to pick up your feet more when you walk? You're shuffling, and you stumble. Sometimes I see him stumbling. Now that I'm 64, or going to be 65, I understand. The joints are a little achy, your energy is a little less, and you tend to shuffle. But health issues, you have aging parents. Some of us dealing with aging parents, you have concerns about your kids, job stress, relational issues, busyness, too much to do, internal angst, mental confusion, etc., etc., etc. And you could just feel like life is like choking you, choking you. You know, one thing that can make your life much, much better? I'm going to share with you one thing, the one thing that can make your life much freer and much better. You want to know? You want to know? All right, none of you want to know, so I'm not going to go. I know you want to know internally, all right? It's this. Having a more of an eternal perspective and less of an earthly perspective. If we have more of an eternal perspective and less of an earthly perspective, it will greatly impact our day-to-day life. In this passage, what caused the choking? The thorns, the thorns. The thorns cause the choking. And what does Jesus say those thorns are? It is the things we worry about. Material riches, the pleasures of this physical, earthly life. That's what's choking you. That's what's choking us. The worries of the world, the earthly pleasures, pursuing those riches and the wealth of this world. An eternal perspective changes the way we see things. It changes the way we think about things. It changes the way we understand things, and it changes then the way we live, the choices we make. And that combats worry and stress and that feeling that life is choking us. So what is an eternal perspective? I have a definition right here. An eternal perspective, it's weighing present choices, suffering, and material wealth and possessions against the reality of an unending future with God. In other words, an eternal perspective is when you weigh your different choices, your different options, you think of the choices you are making in light of the fact that as believers, we will live an unending paradise with the Lord. That helps shape the decisions we make. It shifts our focus from temporary, earthly circumstances to lasting spiritual realities. And for most of us, we are way, way too nearsighted. Way too nearsighted. And when we get too attached, when we try to hang on and cling to the things of this physical world, it will lead us to fear of loss, fear of losing the things we are holding on to. It'll lead to stress. It'll lead to worry. It'll lead to envy. It'll lead to coveting. We begin to pursue the things that are fleeting, that are temporary. At that point, the thorns have us, and the choking begins. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Now, the Bible uses the term world for many different things. One of the ways it uses the term world, it's for all of God's creation. And so, is this passage talking about that? No, because God created the world, and he said it was good. Everything God created was good for us to enjoy and for us to govern, right? That's how God created the world. Now, the world is tainted by sin now, but you can still see the goodness of God in creation. So he's not talking about that. Is he talking about people? Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He's talking about the people in the world. Is he talking about that? Do not love people? No, he's not talking about that because he said, for God so loved the world. What is he talking about when he says world in this passage? He's talking about the worldly system. The worldly system. The overall values, perspectives, ways, material obsessions of the world system, which is controlled, the Bible says, by the God of this world, who is Satan. Satan controls the world and the world systems and the world values and the world's organization, basically is controlled by Satan. And he says, do not love the world. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. Listen to this. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this passage says you can't serve two masters. You have to make a choice. Who is your first love? Is it the Lord or is it the world and the things of the world? Because the world and its values and its approach and what it says is important is incompatible with God and his values and what he says is important. You have to make a choice. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So he kind of gives a little more detail about what this love of the world looks like. He says, number one, lust of the flesh. It's a lust. It's a life dominated by physical, fleshly desires. If our lives are dominated just by what we can see, by the world around us, the physical world, and that's what our life is about, and that's what we spend our most time and money on, and that's what we're focused on, it'll lead to selfishness. It'll lead to death. Lust of the flesh. Then there's lust of the eyes. That has to do with greed, coveting of material things. You see something, you see commercials are meant to feed the lust of the eyes. It makes you want to think you need this thing. You are not up to the standard if you do not have this thing. There's something wrong with you if you don't have this. And it's enticing us and our eyes and the lust of the eyes. And that leads to greed, being dissatisfied, wanting more. And then there's the pride of life. What is that? Pride of life is basically, we are our own God. We control our lives. No one's the boss of me. I get to choose. I get to decide. My will be done. And that's rebellion. Rebellion against the only true God. And it says all the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it says the world is passing away. And also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. This world is passing away. And everything of the world is passing away. That's why God wants us to have more of an eternal perspective on this life. So let me give you a few examples of how impactful having an eternal perspective can have in our day-to-day lives. Number one, having an eternal perspective or more of an eternal perspective can help you deal with anxiousness and worry. It can help you deal with anxiousness and worry. The Bible looks clear. It says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Matthew 7, Philippians 4. Because worry and anxiousness shows and demonstrates a lack of trust and faith in God. Whenever we have worry, whenever we are anxious, it shows we're not trusting in the Lord. We're too focused on the world and the things of the world. You know, one thing I like to do, I like to, here and there, I like to watch different sporting events, but I almost always like to tape record the event. Number one, because I like to fast forward through all the commercials, even the slow parts, you know. I record my team, the Giants. Yes. I know they're not doing good, but I'm still a fan. I record Giants games. I'll even fast forward between pitches. So he'll pitch, I'll fast forward, and then he'll pitch, and I'll fast forward, and I just watch each pitch. And sometimes, you know, if they're way behind something, I just like put it on two or three times, and the score changes. Okay, so I'm watching it. So I like to record. But the problem with recording is sometimes you record like a big game or important game, and then someone tells you the score before you can watch it. Or you accidentally see the score, right? It's like, oh, man. Because even if I tape it, I like to just watch it and, you know, enjoy it like as if it's going real time. So I watch it. But you know what the advantage is when you know the score? Especially if your team wins? No matter what happens in the game, you're not worried about it. Because you know, in the end, who wins? They could be down by like 30 points, right? They could be playing terrible, or they could be down by 10 runs. But you know they won. Are you worried? No. Because you have a bigger perspective on the game. You already know, no matter what happens in each individual inning or each individual quarter or whatever, you know what happens. And so it eases our anxiousness. Have you ever heard of the five-year rule or the five-year test? There's a five-year test, and it says this. If a problem, situation, or issue won't matter in 5 years, it doesn't matter. This is a very good rule to live by. Think about your life. Think about the things. There's so many things in the moment you were worried about, you were stressed about, you were anxious about. And when you think about that, those things 5 years ago from now, you can't even remember them. They really had no impact on your life. We make it into this huge crisis, huge issue. But in reality, it's just a little blip. Just a little blip. If an embarrassing mistake, a minor argument, or a fleeting problem won't have any bearing on your life in 5 years, it's not worth your mental capacity, energy, worrying about it. You know, with time, things take on a different perspective. What seemed huge in the moment, like I said, becomes small, sometimes insignificant. That's just a five-year test. What if you evaluate the things in our lives against the eternity test? How many of those things we worry about, we're anxious about, we put so much time and energy thinking about, how many of those things are really going to matter? I would say very few. Very few. And so having the eternal perspective helps combat anxiousness and worry, the things that choke us. Secondly, having an eternal perspective helps keep material possessions. Let me start that over. Having an eternal perspective helps keep material possessions in proper perspective. How much time do you spend concerned about, seeking, planning for, worrying about material possessions? I'm going to throw in their food, too, because I know some spend a lot of time thinking about food. And I know for most of you, I know you. For most, not all of you, but for most of you, when you're going to buy something, an appliance, a car, you know, a new washer and dryer, you do tremendous research. You research, you check, look at consumer reports, right? You want the best deal, you want the best thing that's going to last. Think about how much time and energy and effort we put into material things. Thinking about, worrying about, seeking to get material things. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Don't hoard treasures down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? Is it obvious? Isn't it? Isn't it obvious? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Object lesson number one. This is your life, right? You have time, energy, resources, right? We can choose how we spend our time, energy, resources. When we're thinking about the things we're going to eat, what we're going to buy, oh, shopping. I want to go shopping to acquire more things, right? Oh, I'm worried about this thing going on in my life, right? In the physical world, right? Oh, my health issues, worried about that. How am I going to get better, right? And we put all this time and energy and effort, and then, okay, I'm going to go pray for someone. Okay, now back to my regular life, right? Yeah. Oh, this work. How can I get ahead at work and make more money? Where are we going on vacation? Yeah, where are we going to have a good time? Yeah. Oh, I got to read my Bible. Okay, now think about your life. Think about your time. Think about your resources and energy. Putting it into occasionally things here, but majority, 90%, even more of our life. And then we die. All of this gone. Useless, forgotten, nothing. Only this lasts. Only this lasts. Having an eternal perspective, we need it so desperately. Because it helps us to make the choices of our time, energy, and resources in this life. How is your ROI, return on investment? Are you investing the majority in things that's going to end up being nothing? Finally, an eternal perspective can help you deal with physical life and physical death. Philippians 1:21, Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Do you believe this? It's the word of God. Do you believe this passage? Do you really believe to die is to gain? Some of you know my mom has had dementia for several years. And recently, very recently, she was just diagnosed with having Alzheimer's. And over the years, her memory has been fading. And probably within the last year, 6 months, the last time I saw her, last couple times I saw her, there were times where, you know, you hit that moment where she doesn't quite remember who I am, right? She doesn't quite remember. And just try to have a positive attitude. Because my thing when I see my mom is, just in that moment, I want her to experience joy. Or just interact. But very recently, her health has started to decline. And she started to physically decline. And she's not really eating too much and different things. And I know many of you have dealt with this. And if you haven't, you will deal with this whole thing. It's a whole big thing now, right? the baby boomers, to getting older, the whole aging parents thing. So I know some of you have experienced that at a very intense level. And on the one hand, there is the physical earthly reality. There is the reality that, for me, my mom, she's declining. She's probably now just starting to get into the last stages of her life. And, you know, I could feel it. I could feel it. There's an emotional grieving process has begun. You know, my brother, he lives with her, bless his heart, he lives with her, but he's kind of gotten to the point where he goes, I think we need to maybe think about having her go into a boarding care or something. And, you know, that shift, it was like, oh, you know, I know those of you that have been through it, I empathize with my mom. How will she feel going into that? Because she would always say, I'm not going to go into no insane asylum. That's what she would call it. I'm not going to go, don't put me in no insane asylum, right? Or something. So with that in the back, I could feel on the one hand, the grieving process has begun in a certain way. And when her time comes, I know there will be tears. I know the tears will come. The crying will come. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, there is the eternal perspective. My mom is a believer. And I know, when she passes, she's going to be with the Lord. And I believe she is going to gain, especially as her life has declined, this physical life. And even when she was the most vibrant alive she has been, she's going to gain way beyond. So for me, I don't want to try to do everything I humanly can to hang on to our earthly life. I've seen people like that, and I understand that, because there's the physical reality. But sometimes, if that is our view, if that is all we see, if that what our life and values are based on, then of course, I'm going to do everything I can to keep her alive. Because that's all there is. But when we have an eternal perspective, and we really believe to live as Christ and to die as gain, then I can apply it to this situation and many others, and know my mom is going to gain. So don't hang on too tightly to her physical life. Don't try to do everything to keep her in this physical life, knowing there's gain for her when she passes. And like for most, my perspective for her is, I want her to pass with peace, honor, dignity. That's what I want for her. And to be honest, I don't even sense from the Lord, I'm going to pray for her healing. Why? Why? At this point, why? Because I don't want her to get healed a little bit, but still have dementia or Alzheimer's, or You know? 2 Corinthians 4. Though our outward man is decaying. That's the truth. That's the reality. Healing is meant to reveal God to people. It's not meant to keep them alive forever. Though our outward man is decaying, our inward man is being renewed day by day. So we do not look at the things we can see, but we look at the things that we cannot see, because the things we can see are temporary, but the things we cannot see are eternal. So to live the right way, you need to be feeding your eternal perspective. To live the way God wants us to live, we need to be feeding our eternal perspective. How much are you feeding and growing your eternal perspective versus how much is your earthly perspective being fed? How do you feed your eternal perspective? There's nothing new under the sun. How do we feed our eternal perspective? Engage in spiritual activities. Think about God more. Be grounded in the Bible, where when you read the Bible, it imprints the eternal perspective on you constantly. Read the Bible every day. You are in the world 24/7. The world's perspective and values are being inundated in you every day, every moment of every day. And if you're not combating that by being in the Word, getting in God's truth, praying, getting in fellowship, coming to church. Coming to church is important, because when you come to church, it helps to reinforce the eternal perspective. You know, sometimes I think people wonder, I wish Pastor Barry would speak on more practical things, right? How I could live every day, every day. And sometimes I tried to put some of that in there, but for me, it's like, why? You're hearing about the world stuff all the time, how to live in the world 24/7. You're getting bombarded by that. How much do you hear about the eternal perspective during your week? Read Christian books. Listen to Engage to Flourish. Love your neighbors. Fellowship with other believers. Give to those in need. Serve. Worship the Lord. Nothing new under the sun. The only difference is, are we doing those things that feed our eternal perspective or not? Are you just passively going along, letting your mind and your perspective be influenced by the things of the world? Binge watching on Amazon Prime. Focusing so much time and attention on what your next meal or what restaurant you're going to try. Planning out your next vacation. More hobbies. I need more hobbies. Everything of the world How much are you letting yourself, your soul be fed versus feeding, trying to feed the eternal perspective? This right here, it's going to dictate how you live your life and how much choking you feel. You need to feed yourself. You think coming to church on Sunday, maybe even not every week, going to small group 2 times a month, you think that feeding is enough? You think that's going to nourish your soul? Think that's going to put into you an eternal perspective? What is the way we spend our time doing to your mindset? What is the way and how much you're investing in your eternal perspective, the things you do? What is that communicating to your kids? What do they see in you? They know. They could see what you really value. I'm going to just harp on it one more time. Oh, it's okay. We can miss church today. We could go and do this and that. What does that communicate to your kids when they see that? Oh, yeah, church is really important. And I'm not saying church is an end-all, be-all, but church is just another way you feed that eternal perspective. I'm going to close with an example. I've used this before, but I just think it's such a powerful visual example. And I originally saw it by Francis Chan. And so I'm just going to close with this. This little red tape, it represents the length of your life on earth. You're like, what? That's so short. Well, doesn't James say your life is like a vapor? Here today, gone tomorrow. And if this is all we look at to make the decisions of how we spend our time, energy, resources, money, very short-sighted. Richard's going to help me here. Come on up, Richard. Go, man. If you're on the edge, help them out so you don't get choked by the rope. Keep going, Richard. Keep going, Richard. Keep going, Richard. Keep going, Richard. If you're by the rope, you can help it along. Help the brother out. Keep going, Richard. Yeah, encourage him. All right, that's good. Now, Richard, hold up the red. That's your life. This isn't even eternity. What is this? Maybe 1,000 years? What are you investing in? What are you putting your time, energy, efforts into? Is it for just that little red blip that's here today and gone tomorrow, the physical life you live? Are you investing in things that are going to benefit you and others for eternity? For eternity. Eternal perspective. It's the only way. Let's bow forward to prayer. God, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give eye drops, spiritual eye drops, Lord, ointment, solution for our eyes. You would just take off the scale. That the layers, I just see layers and layers and layers that the world has put over our vision and our sight and our eyes. So we think, we've been deceived to think that this earthly life is all of that. But help take and wash our eyes, cleanse our eyes. Help us to see, God, that we would see with eternal eyes, eternal vision, eternal sight. That we would make the things we do, the decisions we make, the people we help, that we would make it count for eternity. This world is passing away, and all the things of the world are passing. But you, God, and all those who follow you, and all of the things that have been sown in the Spirit will last forever with your word. So shift us, God. Shift our, open our eyes and shift our lives so that we might live with eternity in our hearts. Lord, we say, for to me is Christ, and to die is gain. Thank you, Lord. Help us to engage in the eternal activity of worshiping you now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.